Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to CL Educate Limited Q3 FY19 earnings conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Satya Narayanan R, Chairman and Executive Director, CEO of Consumer Business, Mr. Nikhil Mahajan, Executive Director and Group CEO of Enterprise Business, and Mr. Arjun Wadhwa, CFO. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Satya Narayanan R, Chairman and Executive Director, CEO of Consumer Business. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hi, everybody. Thank you very much for the welcome message. I hope all of you have been able to access the Q3 18-19 investor presentation that's uploaded in the investor zone. I will get started now. I will move straight into the slide number five after the initial few slides. The title being Contents, Key Initiatives, Financial Performance, and Operational Performance. I'll pick the first chapter first, the key initiatives that we would like to update you from this quarter that went by. One of the, as you know, the engines of business or growth for CL is to act as the bridge between a student's undergrad to a post-grad through an examination, or between the post, after the finishing of undergrad through a training program, get them to get into the corporates through what we call as the campus recruitment training program. One of the landscape changes that are happening and that is being accelerated by a couple of large players, and here a case in point is the initiative by TCS, iiON, this is the assessment division of TCS in India. They have launched an assessment called CCQT. This stands for Common Corporate Qualifier Test. I would request you to just search for CCQT and know more. While I'll explain more of it in the next slide, we have become the exclusive, for now, official training partner for the CCQT examination. What it does for us is to create one additional line of business for much more compelling and value-adding training program for all the students who are in the last year or the penultimate year of college. That's the summary of TCS iiON CCQT. I'll come back to it a little bit more in detail. The second update in this key initiative is that our version 3 of Melting Pot was held in Bangalore last week, attended by an array of top-notch CXOs, decision-makers from the universities, and so on. This is becoming a very highly look-forward to event in the innovation calendar of India, and our acquisition of Achendre and WaynConnect, which is a research incubation platform, is gaining momentum thanks to this Melting Pot 2020 as a property that we started three years ago. I'll cover a little bit more a couple of slides later. Now I'm moving to slide number seven, which lays out the details of the TCS iiON partnership that we have. If a candidate takes this particular test and they can enroll for this test, it costs them 599 rupees. The enrollment for the test happens on the TCS iiON platform. For those of you who are not familiar, TCS iiON is the assessment division of TCS, and they have done last year assessments, which are practically any important assessment in India, including the CAT or a banking examination or railways or clerical or RRBs, anything that you can imagine, all of those happens now on TCS iON platform. Last year they conducted about 130 million test takers in 2017-18. So when a student takes this CCQT, he becomes eligible for recruitment into 130 corporates who have subscribed to the CCQT test. 5,000 plus jobs are available right now as we speak, and TCS iON has very large plans to expand these numbers, and the market size that is available is arguably about 40 million career openings that can be given, depending upon are you starting from, let's say, at the highest end, it could be a machine learning AI kind of a professional right out of college, or at the bottom end could be a call center recruitment into a company. This is eligible for second and third year, fourth year students. It has got two parts. One is a common compulsory test, which is very similar to CAT and other exams, reasoning, quantitative ability, language proficiency, general awareness, etc. And the second one is an optional test, which would be very specific to the industry in which you want to get to. So this is just early stages. We are incubating this, but it's a good opportunity if you look at it in a 2 to 3 year period, where we come in as the preparation partners and launch this program. It is already live. If you go and enroll now, you can enroll for the program on the CL website as a standalone enrollment, or you can couple it with any of the CL programs at the PG level. I'm now moving to the next slide, which is Melting Pot. This is seeing attendance from top-notch CXOs, CEOs. On the slide that you see, Ashish Dikshit, CEO of Aditya Birla Retail. You see the gentleman on the top in the middle, Manish Kumar. He is the CEO of NSDC. The lady here is, she's the partner on innovation at KPMG. And on the left-hand side, you see the startups who won the award. And the gentleman who's giving away that award is Alok Sriram. He's the Sriram Group Vice Chairman. So the conversations between institutions and corporates is something that we are becoming a very powerful catalyst. And also the startups that are taking birth inside the institutions, they look at us with a lot of hope and confidence that we are able to lead them into the real world through their innovations, and that's what is the business model of Vane Connect, as you know. I'll move forward and leave some of those queries that might be in your head to be taken at the end of the presentation. I'm on slide number 9. We are moving into chapter 2, financial performance, which brings us to slide 10. So this covers the YTD status update. For the 9-month period on the revenue side, we have grown by about 20%. Top line has gone from 222 to about 267 crores, wherein the EBITDA margins have improved as a result of various steps that we had taken over the last 12 months, and resulting in an EBITDA for a 9-month period of 33.2 crores against 20.7 crores same time Q3 last year, which is a 60% growth in EBITDA. And net profit that we are reporting at the end of Q3 is about 17.7 crores against 7.5 crores for Q3 last year. That's about 136% growth. So that's a brief snapshot of the financials. If I look at the next slide, slide number 9, and compare Q3 on Q3, our top line has grown by about 6.9%, and from the EBITDA, it has grown by about 145%. And so the figures are here. Most of them are self-explanatory. I'm assuming that you are able to access it. YTD figures I have covered in the previous slide. This one brings focus to the Q3 figures of top line and EBITDA. On the earnings per share, there is a healthy jump. Some of these are also to do with what we have been updating you with. Lot of cost rationalizations that have happened along with some of the initiatives that we took about a year, year and a half ago are beginning to show growth in terms of revenues. I now move to slide number 12. This is the segmental summary. Consumer has shown a growth of about 18.4 year on year, whereas enterprise has shown even healthier at about 30%, which includes institutional revenues as well as the corporate revenues, which have shown about 47 and 27% growth. Institution, as you know, is still a fledgling practice, so the percentage growth might not be, it might look more flattering than in terms of numbers, but overall the direction and vector looks reasonably healthy. Now I move to slide number 13, which takes us to the third chapter, operational performance. I'll take the consumer and Nikhil will step in and update about the enterprise business. So the consumer business, if you recall, the number of test centers, we went through significant rationalizations, which we have updated you in the last two quarterly calls also. We had rationalized large number of centers when we did the cleaning up after acquiring and integrating the Pearson business. Many common centers, where there were common centers possible, one of the centers got eliminated. Some of the centers which were a drag on in terms of expenses, but not healthy if you were to look at it, very hard parameters of performance, we shut some of those down. So what was looking like 211 as the number of centers in FY18 Q3, they went down to about 164 or 65, and we have added approximately 30 more centers in the last 9 months. Number of enrolled students is showing a small growth. Our JFM is when the season opens. We hope to do well there. And at an aggregate level, consumer business has shown 18.4% year-on-year growth. I'll pause here for a moment and then move to slide number 18. You know, if you recall, last year we integrated SP classes in Bombay in addition to integrating the gate numbers, you know, gate equity that we took in IceGate. IAS, CA and CS came through Pearson practice, Eaton. So that sigma of it has gone from about 5 crores to about 22 crores. Digital continues to show very good potential. We are trying to invest and pivot a lot more into leveraging digital and centralized delivery model of our servicing. On the publishing side on this page, and to take us through the enterprise, I'll pause and request Nikhil to come and take us forward.
Thanks, Satya, and good afternoon to everybody. Let me spend a couple of minutes on publishing before I get to the enterprise business. As you know, most of you would be aware that publishing is a slightly seasonal business, and the throughput of the market is linked either to the school and college admission calendar or is driven by certain announcements emanating from certain exams when they take place and the traction for that. So Q3 usually is a low quarter for publishing. This year also Q3 has been extremely slow one due to festivities and festivals like Dashera and Diwali. But also there was a slight delay in announcement of certain key examinations like the railway engineering exam called RRB Junior Engineer and the SSC Junior Engineer exam. Both these examinations were expected to be announced earlier in Q3. However, the announcements took place only towards end of December and January. So we are hoping that with the RRB registrations have got over 3 million students have registered. The throughput in the market for the books we have shipped is extremely healthy. And we are extremely positive about the deficit of Q3 getting adequately recovered in Q4. Some of the titles which are mentioned on the left-hand side are among the top 5 titles as bestsellers at Amazon currently, and of these, 2 of those titles are in the top 10. I think many more of these titles will move into the top 10 in the coming days as the traction moves into a better gear. Now I'll move to the enterprise business. Now I'm on slide number 18. As in the summary where Satya had indicated, the enterprise business currently accounts roughly for about 40% of the total CL revenue, and as compared to consumer business is about 2/3 in size, and on a small base it's able to show a much flattering growth rate. So in the YTD performance for the first 3 quarters, we have grown by about 30%. The corporate business has, even on a larger base, has grown at about 27%. And the institutional business on a very small base at close to around 47 to 48%. These are businesses which over the last 3-4 years have been growing at a healthy clip, and we continue to expand the penetration in terms of the clients, both in the corporate as well as the institutional segment, and also widen and deepen the engagement with clients at both the levels. So basically, the growth in the coming quarters and years is going to be driven by expansion of the client base as well as the revenue which we are able to generate from each of the customers. Data on the quarter-to-quarter performance of quarter 3 in this fiscal year. So if you look at, while the number of clients has more or less remained constant, while media has reported a slight decline in the number of customers, the research has shown an equally higher increase. A deeper and a wider engagement with the existing set of clients has resulted in almost a 50% growth in revenue. Similarly, in corporate business, the number of clients has increased from 80 to 86, but the revenue has shown a significant jump from 75 to 96. Our endeavor towards enhancing both the number of clients as well as the average revenue earned from client increases is the core driving force in the coming quarters and years for a sustainable revenue growth. With that, we come to the end of the presentation, and we throw open the ground for any questions which any of you might have. Please send us your questions, please.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star and one. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, press star and one on your touchtone phone now. We have a first question from the line of Amit Agarwal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, Amit.
Yeah. I just wanted to know the status of the sale of K2 business.
Amit, it is still a work in progress, and as you know, we will be able to say something clearly only when the transaction is done and closed. So anything more than that, when it is a work in progress, it's not appropriate. But just to reiterate our intent and resolve to release capital from that asset is underway. Conversations are on, but it is still not closed.
Sure. And on vocational training business, any receivable in this quarter?
Yeah, we received 7.5 crores of the outstanding amount. So there has been a progress, and there is progress on a couple of other outstanding accounts as well. And hopefully, as the money keeps coming in, we'll keep you posted about the development.
Sure.
The total outstanding has now come down to about 30 odd crores from 52 crores about 18 months ago. Okay.
Yeah. Any provision we have made in last 9 months regarding vocational training?
We have made a provision or a write-off already of about 4 crores in the last 9 months, and there is another additional credit loss provision of close to about 6 CR accounted for during the course of the year. So you can assume, I think we have more than adequately provided for any potential losses into the future.
Okay, and the same figure for this particular quarter? Any provision in this quarter?
ECL is a running account in terms of how the collections happen. So we keep providing at a rate of 60 to 75 lakhs per quarter. And that's what we have been doing for the last 7 quarters. And we'll continue to do that at that rate. And as the collections keep coming, and whatever don't come will eventually be knocked off against the provisions made.
Okay. Yeah, and my another question is on Alexa product. So how is the response to the product which we have launched, and how is the pipeline looking like?
Amit, is it, it is still early days. The response is extremely encouraging, and as you know that even as a company, Amazon is investing heavily on creating the voice tech programming professionals in India. So there are two ways in which we are going after this opportunity. One is how do we integrate Alexa experience into customer fulfillment and also customer acquisition for CL as a brand. Number two is, as a training company, we now have a mandate from Amazon Alexa to train 1,000 programmers in colleges. So we have opportunity both as a brand that has a go-to-market integration. Number two, as a training company, as becoming the capacity building partner for all the voice tech companies. So we are focused on that. I would think that any visible story to be written will happen in 4 quarters, not sooner than that.
Can you please take me through new test prep segments individually and how each of them are progressing?
Say the segments that you have in mind, Amit.
Yeah, for say the GATE, IIT, CACS.
Okay, GATE, IIT, CACS, FRM. You know, we've acted on 4 or 5 of those over the last 18 months.
Okay.
Okay. So the one that is showing greatest traction is the 9 to 12 segment, which includes IIT JEE, JEE, NEET, and tuitions. Okay.
Okay.
And all of these, as you know, we put them all under one basket called the knowledge products. And the servicing of these knowledge products is done through tech-enabled centralized delivery, significantly more than for aptitude products. When I say aptitude products, it includes MBA, law, GRE, BBA, RBI, banking, SSC, etc.
Yeah.
Okay. So we have, by design, not divulging too much of numbers for the sake of not releasing competitive information, which is not necessary. But what it suffices for us to say is that there is a lot of focus on how do we scale these, what we internally call as masterclass, centralized delivery model products, because they begin to give us superior EBITDA on a per student basis by controlling the quality of delivery for the knowledge products such as GATE or civil services or IIT, JEE and medical.
Okay. So basically, we are doing a digital delivery in this 9 to 12 segment, right?
It's a blended delivery, but the emphasis a lot more on, you know, what is it called? Digital perhaps doesn't capture it entirely. It is marquee faculty members delivering it either live, synchronous, or live asynchronous on an on-demand, anywhere, anytime basis where the students can learn even on their mobile phones or their carry devices or a desktop or a laptop or anything. It still is live but delivered centrally.
Okay, so more customers are emphasizing towards the digital, the delivery online or through physical classroom?
Both will continue for a long time, Amit. Both, there are two different segments.
Okay.
But for a GATE kind of a program, even if the student comes to a CL center in Hyderabad or Baroda or Ahmedabad, if the best faculty delivers it from a Bangalore or Ahmedabad or Delhi, they all come to the centers, but it is delivered by the finest guy who is the best teacher of thermodynamics or mechanical engineering or whatever.
Right.
Okay. And some of them might choose to learn on their own by taking a canned product online, which typically is priced about, let's say, 1/3 or 1/4 the in-center model.
Okay. Just a continuation of this question. Do we have any form of assessment as of student engagement on when the class go live, when somebody is taking class through their mobile or phone, and how engaging is the video content? Because nowadays, lot many coaching classes have started delivering online classes.
Hmm.
So
yeah,
we have
I think that's a very reasonable that particular skill of a test prep company is as old as the industry. It's just that the expression of it earlier, it used to happen on paper and pen. Now it happens digitally, and they watch it or they see it on their mobiles, or parents can see it at home on their desktops. It's all there, which includes engagement, attendance, scores, assessments, benchmarking with their peers, benchmarking with the last year's toppers. I think there are 100 ways in which that is done and delivered to the students and their parents.
Okay. Yeah, just one more question on the recently we have done some collaboration with the government to do the IIT classes. So can you just put some more light on that? Is it a CSR initiative from our side as well, or it's a usual business?
See, it is absolutely business. It just is that it tries to innovate on the revenue model, wherein we steer clear of the earlier experience of going deep into the government and getting stuck. However, we know that there is an opportunity to the biggest opportunity to tap into talent that wants to go to higher education, test prep, coaching is there in the government schools. So we are doing some pilot and we have been able to get a formal MOU, and we are delivering programs to the students. How do we monetize it is something that we want to discover, but at this point in time I would like to say that anything more would be too premature for us to talk about. How do we intend to monetize this? But we are not going to be dependent on government to pay for us, because that's the game that we are avoiding.
Sure. And we are doing it for only for that particular segment, or we can enhance our product basket in this?
Everything we can do, whatever we wish. We wanted to stay focused in the pilot, demonstrate some results, build some credibility, and then we will broaden it and deepen it. Not just in sciences, but even in arts and commerce, and go down to grade 9, go and do career counseling. So it's a vast ocean. I think we need to do step by step and be very solid about that. We are not throwing too much of money at this experiment.
Okay. And just last question from my side. Can you, if you just tell me about how is the VaynConnect platform going? Because I see that the numbers are not moving, the number of innovations, the funding amount, and so can you please throw some light?
Yeah. So it's moving very well. Some of these updations also happen after some milestone events, Amit. Those numbers are not real time like our ERP figures. When enrollment happens and we upload it, it is done after post audits of academic kinds, events. So now that the melting pot has happened, you will find that there will be a spike that you will see in the next 2 to 4 weeks on all dimensions. See, it is important to understand that innovation is a new landscape in India. And we are doing a whole lot of heavy lifting on educating the institutions and the corporates about the solidity of this as a platform-led SaaS model, which in some sense is not present anywhere in the world. So we are frugal, but we are aggressive, and we think that there is a winner that is possible here. And between institutions and corporates, it would have generated about 7 crores of revenue this year, both put together. And the moment we bring more reputed institutions onto the platform and the corporates put the real world problem solving monies, I think there is a much better game that is going to happen. Just to bring your attention to something very, very small or very important, if you go now to VaynConnect, you find that there are about 560 real world problems from 95 corporates that are listed there. That wasn't there 5 months ago. Okay, and I think it's in that direction that VaynConnect will begin to find traction and build a solid model around it.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thanks a lot, and congratulations for the good set of numbers.
Thank you, Amit.
Thank you, sir. We have next question from the line of Manju Bhashini from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good afternoon to the management members out there. Sir, our P&L numbers across all segments on console basis seems to have significantly improved there from the sales, EBIT, margin, and all these parameters. First, if you can help me understand what is the revenue model going to be for this common corporate qualifier test in partnership with TCS that you mentioned about in the opening remarks. That is one. And if you can help me understand the volume and the pricing growth for the 9 months between our key test prep segments like MBA, law, and IITs and things of that sort.
Okay. Hi, Manju. This is Satya.
Hello.
So, Manju, on the CCQT, if you look up our website, we have 4 levels of training and assessment product variants that have been launched. It ranges from the smallest ticket is a 499 rupee product, where the student can just take a test series and then go and take the actual CCQT exam. And on the right extreme is a 12,000 rupee product, which includes 50 hours of training, a couple of personal interviews and feedback. So in some sense, it is almost exactly similar to the way we would look at a CAT or a GRE program, where 4 levels of products have been built and left to the students to choose from a 500 rupee product to a 12,000 rupee product with 2 more variants thrown in between. Okay. And the first task here is to do the first 100 enrollments and the first 1,000 before we begin to think of scale. And if we work closely and in tandem with the initiatives by TCS ION and engage very closely with the institutions and the corporates, our hypothesis is that we are bringing all stakeholders to join forces and solve a very important problem that has a social value as well as a tremendous economic value to be unleashed. So we think we need to do this very well over the next 6 month period. Just to let you know, the first litmus test for us, whether we do 100 or 1,000, is March 17th, when the next CCQT is going to be held 2019. So we have 40 days to do all of it. So it just might be a little, not a great start. But then if it's going to be held every quarter, maybe it begins momentum. It will gather its momentum over the next 4 quarters.
Okay, so this partnership, I mean, what is TCS is the brand, or this is the assessment division of TCS, you said, and the CL Educate, what is the role of CL Educate here? You supply the material for this test, which people will take on the TCS platform. Is that the way it will work?
No. That's not the way, Manju. One of the things, hypothesis with which TCS ION has been working is that just launching the assessment itself is not good enough. We need to somehow find a way or let the students find a way to train for the exam, to train for the test and perform better, because only then will it be useful for both the stakeholders. The placement cell will feel happy that students have performed better to qualify for, let's say, a Bajaj Auto job or an Asian Paints job. And that's when also the HR of those companies will find better quality candidates. So initially, they are saying, so we are at an arm's length training partner. We don't do anything into each other. We don't know anything about their tests. They don't know anything about our training program. But they wanted somebody to run with for as a training partner, who, if a student asks TCS ION, that, sir, I want to train for the program, they didn't want to train, so they will refer the students to us, and we are the only ones with whom they have a formal official MOU.
And how will you help out the students? I mean, what happens once the student comes into your lab and you...
We train them in quantitative aptitude, okay, logical reasoning, because the sample papers are out. If you go to TCS now and pay $499, you can take 2 mocks on their platform, 2 mock tests on their platform.
And this revenue is, how is this shared between TCS and you?
No, our revenue stays with us and their CCQT revenue goes entirely to them. If we get students to enroll
for 499 ticket size which you talked about ranges from 499 to 12,000. So
yeah.
So this 499 is entirely CL's share. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And what is the other CCQ? Okay, this is the training costs which CL what CL imparts to that student, and taking the test there is another separate registration and the amount that needs to be paid for that. That goes to TCS, is that so?
That's right. That's another 499.
Okay, and so TCS gives the source is TCS to give you the students.
Sorry?
The source from where you get the students who will seek your help is from TCS again.
No. We go straight from the market. So already we have launched a student who comes for a CAT training. Mm-hmm. He can today also take as an add-on CCQT plus placements training from CL. So okay. What if TCS refers students additionally to us, to it's a bonus. But since we do B2C business, we already launched the program saying that, you know, if you're looking at 2019 placements through CCQT on March 17th, get started now.
Okay. And this is not just for the aptitude test of TCS. This is the assessment aptitude test which TCS is conducting for other. It's not just for recruiting into TCS. Is that correct understanding?
Oh, yes. You're right. It is for recruiting into 135 companies with whom TCS has signed up.
Okay. Fine. And here, incremental costs that you need to spend may not be much because you are already in that aptitude business and you have physical centers across India and you have a brand and things of that sort. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yes. You're right.
Okay. Fine. And this 499, 12,000, I mean, what duration? Is it a three-month course, 50 hours of training needed for 12,000 product, you said? And the 499, the lowest price product, what is the number of training needed there?
No, there is no training. That's just a test series. You know, you take six tests
online.
Online from wherever you are. It's just a practice test series before you go for the exam.
Okay.
And then the highest one is 12K, which also has got two face-to-face interviews. There is one before that which doesn't have a face-to-face interview. It's got a digital interview and along with the training program. And the URL, everything is available online, and enrollments have begun to happen.
Sure. Sir, and this volume growth and the pricing growth between the different segments of test prep, how will that vary 9 months to 9 months?
Again, as you know, Manju, we have to look at segment-wise. If you look at volume growth, the one that is most challenged is the MBA offline, and the MBA online is growing much better. Overall, the volume growth has been for the quarter on quarter 2%. Pricing growth has been 20%, and this is the YTD 9 month period. Law has grown by about 5%. So there is a breakup. Some of these things, Manju, we are refraining from sharing too much of numbers here.
But
at an overall level, volume growth is not as good as we would have liked. We are hoping for about a 6%. It's less than that. It's about 2%. But the pricing growth has been good for the last 9 months.
And this pricing growth, has it got to do anything with the newer that knowledge-based knowledge-based
yes.
That added? Okay.
Yes. You are right. And it has not been too skewed. It's been reasonably healthy in every product, including MBA, which is about 5-6%.
Okay. And sir, on the balance sheet front, yes, I saw you're still highlighting the two areas where things need to be done. One, the sale of non-core asset, and the improvement in the profitability from the acquired entities therein. Yes, there is definitely an improvement from negative 4 crore to plus 4 crore. And would like to understand what are your near-term targets there now for improvement further on the profitability side of these acquired entities, and how has that how is the revenue growth trend different here versus our organic one, the MBA log kind of segments? And also the on the balance sheet front, if you can help me understand what is this other non-current asset line item which has significantly increased there. Other current assets, yes, from 44 to 76 odd crores March to September, there is a significant increase seen there. And the cash flows on a 9-month basis, what would that look like, cash flow from operations?
Okay, I'll take the first one, Manju, and then I'll request Nikhil and Arjun to take the second one. On the first one, the acquired assets, the slope and profitability. Manju, if I club all of these knowledge products which are delivered in a centralized mode as we speak, we have about 2,100 students as we speak. I think the critical mass for us to cross would be the 5,000 plus figure, and this, here I'm bracketing all the centralized delivery programs, you know, whether it is a civil services or CA or FRM or CFA or all of these products. I think the economies of scale will begin to do well beyond that. The good thing is that we are at a place where there is no going to be cash loss, but we need to hit the higher velocity, higher run rate for the economies of scale to start coming in. And my view would be that we are about 4 quarters away from that. We need to double from where we are, and that's still a lot of upslope because some of these industries we are doing it for the first time. Couple of industries it is a known practice, so it's a mix of that. Then I think it will be at a good place. We have to cross the first milestone in my head is 5,000 students.
Sure. Yeah.
Arjun is taking the second part, and Nikhil will step in if required.
Manju, the difference in the increase in the other current financial assets, if that is what you're referring to, is largely on account of the unbilled revenue that exists predominantly in our Keystone business on account of projects that have come in over the last quarter, but have not yet reached a stage of full completion. So we've had projects which have come in from SAP and Dell, and you know, some of these are on the verge of completion. They're at different stages of conclusion, so they haven't reached the revenue stage, but they're currently sitting at the unbilled revenue stage. So that figure has gone up from 12 to 37, which explains a large chunk of the 24 jump that you saw in the other current financial assets.
Okay, and this is the corporate what do you call that? CSR program for which you are associated with some of these corporates.
Isn't the CSR part. This is the enterprise business that Nikhil leads. So the enterprise corporate business. These are projects that we undertake, events, experiential marketing programs, etc., which we undertake for different organizations. A lot of these are, one of our companies, Keystone, these are clients of those, and we have an array of events that we do for them. A large chunk of this is because of that.
Okay. And sir, the cash generation for the 9 months, how would that look like?
My estimate is the estimated cash generation during this 9 month period would be, I think, between 12 to 14 CR. Okay.
This is post working capital needs.
Yes.
Okay, and roughly, if I see, we have deployed around 250 crores across various segments for different as capital employed therein. And on an ongoing basis, what is that number one should be aware of, sir? How much of incremental capital is needed to ramp up these businesses? Because all initial investments and keeping costs and things of that sort are already there in the numbers. On an incremental basis, what is the sort of working capital needed, if you can help me there?
See, Manju, if you look at it, the enterprise business, which is basically the corporate and institutional business, they are slightly working capital heavy in terms of that the corporate payout cycle is about 90 days, and the institutional payout cycle varies between 90 to 150 days. So if that business is going to grow by 30%, then on that base, the working capital requirement will probably increase to that extent, but will be limited to about 8 to 10 crores in a year, approximately.
Okay, and the margins for these two segments at EBIT level, I don't know, am I missing something here? The enterprise corporate margins at EBIT level for the 9 months?
That will be about 7.5-7%, about 7%, and for the institutional business, that would be roughly around 30%.
No, the segmental, the way we are reporting, the EBIT margins 9 month for enterprise corporate is coming to somewhere around 2.5 average. We have done close to 1 minute.
That's over.
And the the institutional part, there, this last two quarters, Q2, Q3 were quite good, but again, there is some element of seasonality there, I believe. The 9 month margins are close to 20-odd% range therein.
That's what I said. No, for the corporate business, that would be about 7-8%, and for the institutional business, in the range of 30, the weighted average will come to about 18-20%.
Okay, the enterprise institutional is the one where you touch base with the research students, that part of the business.
Yeah, that is one of that segment.
What would be the other segments here within enterprise?
We do a lot of outreach engagements with various colleges and universities in terms of marketing, branding, digital services, student engagement, student outreach, etc.
Okay, so incrementally 10 crore is what you think from the working capital side you may need for considering the growth.
So if we were to, on an average, keep growing at the rate what we have done over the last 2 years, we will probably need an incremental working capital, which the accruals from the business growth should be able to more or less fund that incremental working capital.
Okay. And any thoughts on further inorganic acquisitions, sir? Or are we satisfied with the recent ones we have done and we are looking more to consolidate these now? Any further need for capital there on that front?
Nothing for the next 4 quarters, Manju. Nothing on the anvil, nothing right now.
Okay, fine. Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you very much. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star one now. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you very much. This is Satya here. I will let Arjun as a CFO give the vote of thanks.
Thank you everyone for attending. And thanks a lot for your questions and for your time. We continue to be available at the email addresses and phone numbers shared in our presentation. Should you have any additional queries at any point in time, we'd be happy to take them up. Once again, thank you so much for your trust, and we look forward to catching up with you again at the end of the financial year. Thank you so much. Thanks, Vikram.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of CL Educate Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining with us, and you may now disconnect your lines.